Yo, 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 man. Welcome to another episode of Locker Room Talk, man. I'm your host, Big Preezy, man. And I got a special guest in here today, man. This brother does everything, man. He was a Olympic weightlifter, man. He coaches a football team, and he's finna open up his own gym, man. Let's give it up for Jonah, man. Yes, what's up, man? Yes, what's up? What's going on with you, man?
Man, I appreciate the opportunity for being here, man. Thank you for letting me be here. It's an honor, man. I mean, I'm a little nervous, but I mean,
we're gonna take it easy.
I'm excited to be here, man. Thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, it's all good. All good, man. Dude, I just made it. I just left the gym, you know what I'm saying, about an hour ago, man.
Right.
I took some pre-workout, bro.
Okay.
Have you ever been in one of those moves when you go in the gym, you just fucking possessed? You stay in that motherfucker about 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
You just go in.
Don't even look at the time.
You don't even look at the time, man.
Yeah, you just make up shit on the spot.
I started making up fucking workouts on the spot shit, man, and everything, man. I said, let me try this. I'm like, fuck, man.
I was just amped.
You know?
Yeah, sure. I feel you. I mean, once that pump is real, you just go at it, man. You just can't stop, especially when you got that pre-workout kicking in.
Once that thing hits, man. That hits so hard on me, man. I'm like, man, people looking at me and say, man, I know this dude been uphill for like 3 hours. He just walking around doing every damn thing, man. Yep. I was
you're doing your thing. That's all that matters, man.
I was definitely getting in, man.
Yes, sir.
Jonah, man, tell us about your story, man. How did all this come about far as you get into American weightlifting to being the coach?
How did
that all come about, man? Start from the beginning.
Yeah, so for me, my story, growing up, I mean, I grew up in a fitness sports family type of house. So, you know, all my cousins, my auntie, my uncles, we all grew up in sports. I mean, our main sport was football. So that was like our go-to sport, you know. Every Friday, Saturday was a game, you know, and then on the weekdays, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday was practice. So, you know, it was a sports family. It was, if it wasn't football, it was church, you know, if it wasn't church, it was football, you know. Ever since I was younger, I just always been into sports, any sport, basketball, football, baseball, anything you can name it, I played it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a little after high school when I started getting into, you know, weightlifting. When I first touched the bar and I actually, you know, try to figure out, you know, what I really wanted to do as far as this fitness journey. Mm-hmm. So I had met my girlfriend's cousin, which is El Nino. Shout out to El Nino.
Okay.
He got me into weightlifting. It's a gym in Long Beach called Long Beach Weightlifting. A coach, his name is Christopher Francisco. He's the one that got me started into this whole Olympic weightlifting and, you know, coaching that football. Ever since then, like 6 years ago, I just grew to love it, and every day, I just day in day out, I just never stopped touching that bar.
Right. So how long did you train to get into those Olympic weightlifting?
Consistently, I would say like four years. I was doing the competing and coaching at the same time.
Okay.
But first 3 years, I was just competing back to back. I got into weightlifting around 2014, not too long ago. But I just was day in, day out in the gym, just, you know, weightlifting, competing, trying to learn the whole barbell movement, just trying to learn the whole, you know, technique, teaching as far as weightlifting. And that's what grew my love for that sport. So I just kept doing it day in, day out, you know.
And when was your, like, your first competition? Like, what was the feeling like when you got into your first Olympic competition?
My first competition, oh man, it's like how I feel now, nervous. But I think, you know, it's like that for anything. You know, when you first get into something, you know, say as far as competition or just your first day on the job, you know, you always have that butterfly in your stomach. So I think going into it, because, you know, I was brand new to the sport. I never knew how to snatch, never knew how to clean and jerk. But when you have the right coaching and the right, you know, mentor, it makes it a lot easier. So I was a little nervous, but I think that competition is what, like, got me to love the sport even more. Ever since my first competition, I just kept doing it. I just never stopped. Yeah, I just kept on a roll. So, yeah.
Did you have to stay on, like, a certain type of diet when you was training for it?
Diet, not so much. I was already So I was 160 pounds. They go by weight classes. Okay. I was already underneath the weight class that I needed to be in. So there wasn't no like strict diet. I just had to maintain my weight limit at that time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But other than like gaining weight or losing weight, I didn't have to do no specific diet plan or anything like okay. that. Yeah.
So then they didn't really just care about your diet as far as Olympic weight league. You could be what's the heaviest you could?
The heaviest, I believe, is 109. Yeah, 109 and 109 plus. Okay. But I was at before they switched the weight classes, I was at 94. Okay. I was at 94, but they changed it now. It's a 96. It's a little different now, but depending on what weight class you want to be in, mm-hmm. Whatever weight you're at, you got to either maintain or either cut. You know what I'm saying? So for me, every time I competed, I never had to cut or maintain or anything like that. Because I was in a green zone the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
I was solid.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Golly, yeah. Man. That's crazy, man. God, right, right. Even think y'all don't even gain weight. Right, y'all right. don't lose weight. Y'all staying the exactly. same weight all the time, right, right. man. So it works. It works in the best way, you know, mm-hmm, and everything sure. like that, man. Right. So far as the coaching deal, y'all, you mostly... You coach, you yeah. train, you coach your football team, you got your own
yes,
football
sir.
Team.
Yes, sir.
How long you been doing that?
A little bit over 2-3 years. I started off with at Fireball High School. It wasn't a football team. It was just more so like a after-school program. Mm-hmm. But I dealt with a lot of the football kids.
Okay.
So they would come in, ask for some extra work, and I would help them out, you know, obviously. And because Fireball High School is in Linwood. They weren't a big program. Mm-hmm. So I thought I, you know, help them out, you know, as far as the weight room, and then I did a little bit of strength and conditioning with them as well. And then I coached at GAR and then at Golden West Community College. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I did a little bit of, you know, junior college and high school at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah,
did you play football back in?
Yeah, I played at GAR. I played 2012. 2012. Okay. Yeah, okay. I only played 1 year, unfortunately, because I had broken my collarbone.
Ugh,
and after that, I just stopped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was it. That was it.
Exactly.
And how long you been doing the coaching thing?
For... like I said, three years. Consistently though. Yeah,
consistently.
I mean, I would be on and off though, like,
because
so it was at a point where I was at GAR and Golden West at the same time, and I just couldn't juggle both. And then
right.
I was in the process of getting my own spot as well. So yeah,
okay.
it was hard to juggle both. But yeah, 3 years.
Okay. So far as your training, how did you right. train your kids? Far as doing football, I heard because you mostly incorporate your.
Olympic weightlifting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so for as far as like lifting wise, like I told you a little bit before, I try to implement Olympic weightlifting because mm-hmm. I've always been into like college football, and I've always followed the whole, you know, workout regimen, what they do as far as like my go-to college is USC. I follow their workout facility, everything to the T.
Right.
So, you know, I just love, you know, seeing their workout ethic, their workout program, you know, all that good stuff. And I've seen them doing Olympic weightlifting.
Yeah.
So I figured, you know, why not implement it, you know, in high school kids right now so
right.
that when they get to the next level, they already have a little bit of knowledge of it.
Right.
So
right.
that's why I want to get them ahead of the game.
Right.
Stuff
and
like
do
that.
They help them out as far as in the football field?
As far as like Olympic weightlifting?
Yeah.
Yes, it definitely benefits, of course, because it helps them with being explosive on the field.
Right. Right.
It doesn't matter what sport you play, to be honest,
right.
because cleans, I think in football, it's mandatory to do cleans.
Mm-hmm.
Snatches, it's a little different because mm-hmm. it's a little technical movement, but mm-hmm. it definitely helps as well because it's another explosive movement, explosive,
right.
You know, powerful movement. So that's why I try to implement it as much as I can. Yeah.
So what kids, as far as positions, do you train? You train like defensive linemen, linemen?
O-line, D-line, linebackers, and receivers. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really do too much of quarterbacks. You know, they're
right.
a little, you know, a little
fragile.
Different. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We don't want to put too much weight on their bar. So I try to stay with the more of the bigger guys.
Yeah.
So that they can be fast, you know, elusive and stuff like that on the field. So that's why I try to take on the bigger guys. You
bigger
know what I'm
guys
mm-hmm.
and everything,
yeah,
man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because I know as far as when I was playing football,
right.
yeah, a lot of weightlifting was incorporated into that, man. And I mean, it helped you be more explosive.
Yeah. What high school did you go to, bro?
I went to Quinn County High. That's back in Mississippi, man.
Oh.
I played for the Dragons, man.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
on the other side of town.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. Southern boy, man. Straight Southern boy, man.
Oh, that's
so
right.
I was playing O-line, man,
really?
And D-line.
And D-line,
so
okay.
I did that all the way through high school,
oh,
man.
Nice.
I tried to try out for... you know, Mississippi State at the university, wow. man. Right. I was just too short.
Really?
Yeah. Because the most of the linemen out there is like.
That's true.
Humongous.
6 foot and above.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel it though. That's the thing I hate about football. It's always based on height. You know, if you don't have the height and size, you're not.
Yeah.
I guess what they say, manageable to play at the next level.
Right.
You
know what I'm saying? Right.
That's one of the biggest downfall for me is like height, size. I really hate that.
Me too, man.
I envy that a lot. You know what I'm saying? Because coaching my little brother, he was only what, like 6 foot, maybe like 295.
Yeah.
But. I've coached him on offensive line his whole life, and right. They said the same thing. He was too small.
He was too small.
Yes, but he was the most aggressive, the most strongest, and the most technical player on that offensive line. But he was just the shortest.
Wow.
Yeah. And
So he was sort of like Rudy, had the biggest heart, had the most technique and everything, exactly. But he was just short.
But
man.
That didn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Because it goes out the window when they look at his height. They're like, oh, he's a little too short. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? So that's one of the biggest pet peeves that I have. I think that goes for all sports, to be honest.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're a certain height, you don't fit their regimen. You know what I'm saying? So that's one thing I really hate.
Yeah. Because you got to be the certain height, certain way exactly. just to get in, man. And you try your best.
Yeah. That's true.
And you'd be like, man, I wish I was this person. Height, maybe my life would be a little bit different.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's why a lot of these kids, man, when you know, with their height, you know, they don't understand the value that they have, you know, mm-hmm. especially when they're like 6 foot and above. You literally can get anywhere with that height, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what sport you play. I mean, as long as because I seen a kid that's 6'2, 200 some pounds, and I see another kid 6 foot, same weight class,
right?
But he works twice as harder than the guy that's, you know what I'm saying? But he still gets overlooked.
Yeah,
and that's one I hate that.
I hate that too, man.
right.
Especially that kid that's put in a lot of work, man,
and he just get overlooked.
Yeah,
overlooked. I've seen it so many times too.
So what do you tell that kid when? You know, he gets overlooked and gets discouraged from.
Honestly, I just tell him to keep going. You know, just don't lose that passion, don't lose that drive, because that can definitely, you know, mess up a person's, you know, just their whole self belief and everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, when a coach comes by and it gets overlooked, and, you know, overlook a kid, you know, it can literally make a kid depressed, you know?
Right.
And, you know, you wouldn't want to make anybody feel like that, you know, especially, you know, with kids that put in work day in, day out, just blood, sweat, and tears, and, you know, tend to get overlooked over a kid that's, you know, 6 foot and above. It's like, damn, you know, why am I really doing this?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I you know, my advice is just to keep going, you know, keep your head up. Don't let this one comment ruin your work ethic, your mentality and stuff like that. Yeah.
So have you ever did, because when I was playing football, man, my coach used to always tell me, man, you got all the potential in the world. You're just lazy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right,
I mean,
right.
Yeah, you got what it takes to do, and you're just lazy. Yeah. I wish I listened to my coach back then. Right. Maybe,
oh, man, me too. I probably would have made it somewhere.
Yeah, exactly, man, because he kept on telling me. Yeah. He tried to train me, but I wasn't motivated.
Right.
If I had the mind state I have now, it's no...
That's true. That's true.
Where I could be at, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look at you now, so you're doing your thing.
Yeah. So did you have to deal with a kid like that as far as he got all the potential in the world, but just he just didn't have that extra
right
to get there?
I think, to be honest, bro, I think nowadays, the generation nowadays is a lot lazier than... I don't know if someone said this to you before, but yes, they are a lot lazier than, you know, back in our days, in like my days, like we would... All we know is work.
Right.
But the guys nowadays, man, you know, technology is taking over for sure. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
They all worry about what they look like on social media.
Exactly.
Then,
they chase the likes more than the pump. You know what I'm saying? So it's facts. You can see it. Like when I coach at the school, you know, I try to implement a lot of hard work, you know, passion, pure perseverance, a lot of those stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell they have a lot of bad habits. You know what I'm saying? So they didn't grow up into the whole hard work type of lifestyle. It's more so just get it handed to them.
Right.
So, I mean, I've seen it a lot.
Then you got a lot of kids dealing with drugs and stuff like that, man. I mean, drugs counts a lot. I mean, it's hectic out there. How do you deal with that as far as kids dealing with drugs?
We've had a couple kids like that. I've had a couple kids like that. Especially one currently at my gym right now. He's going through a whole, like, right now he's on an 8-month being sober. It's because I'm with him day in, day out. I'm texting him, hey, you good? Like, you know, I try to be there for him as much as possible. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't obviously hold their hand, you know what I'm saying? But if you could just check up on them, you know, here and there, I mean, try to let them know that you're there for them, you know, that gives them a little sense of like, okay, I'll be straight, you know?
Like, and that's the thing I say, difference between coaches and trainers. Cause right, coach actually, right, like, mentors, exactly, like they actually there for that person, right, man. Like, right, they right, like you do, you check up on the kid.
Yeah,
you say,
that's
man, what's
true,
going on?
Yeah,
what you
that's
need?
True.
Hey, you need to go out, you need right, to hang right, out, you yeah, know, go get something to eat.
No, facts, mean? For sure. I mean, being a trainer, or I mean, a coach, you got to do a little bit of everything. You know what right, so you got to observe the kid, you got to break them down, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, they could come in and work out, you know, with a smile on their face, but we don't really know what they're going through.
Right.
You know
at what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think as far as me, you know, I try to break down the kids one by one, you know, say mm-hmm, try to get on, you know, I try to level out with them, you know, mm-hmm, so I don't want to like just be that type of coach that's just, you know, just on them 24/7, this and yeah, this and that, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you also want to get on their level as well.
Exactly.
And try to understand them as much as possible.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's how I try to work out with the kids, you know, respect them and, you know, you get your respect obviously back as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. And like I say, and you always got that one kid you, I mean,
right.
You have to be kind of timid with.
Yeah, yeah,
you
no,
know?
Yeah. I'm like that with a couple of them, to be honest. Especially yeah, my freshman kids.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, they come in fresh.
Yeah,
and they don't know what hard work is.
Right.
So you know, as long as you know you're keeping it straightforward with them, you know, just kind of be nitty gritty with them.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to cut corners. You know, you try to teach them the right from wrong. You know
right,
what I'm saying? Because a lot of them, they come in, they don't know what hard work really is. Like I
right,
said, technology is crazy, man.
Yeah, technology is a motherfucker, man. Crazy, like, see,
bro,
right?
Yeah.
I hate to feel like that, man.
Right. I mean, you just see kids constantly on the game the night before the workout, you know what
mm-hmm,
I'm saying? And they come in and they don't have enough energy. It's like, right, what did you do last night? You know,
yeah,
it's like, oh, I was
yeah,
on the games all night. Well,
yeah,
there you go. You know
exactly
what I'm saying?
You ain't putting that type of work in
exactly,
to make yourself better, man.
Yeah, no, and facts.
Especially the kids that got, like you said, got all the potential, got the
man,
potential to be
yeah,
great.
Right.
And then the ones you be the hardest
yeah,
on.
No, that's, yeah, they're the toughest because
yeah,
they're single-minded. You
yeah,
know what I'm saying? They don't want to think about anything else. If they feel like they're in a good place and they're comfortable, they won't change anything
yeah,
about it. You know what I'm saying? So you just, but I think you just got to keep pushing them. You just
yeah,
got to keep pushing them regardless if they want to hear it or if they don't. You
yeah,
know what I'm saying? So, yeah,
yeah. And then you got that one kid that think he know everything.
Oh, what?
You know what I'm saying? Catch
what?
An attitude, talk shit
right,
behind
right,
your back, you
yeah,
know, and
no,
think he know
like,
everything. Goddamn
man,
Antonio Brown syndrome. You know
what? You know, it's funny. I was teaching at Golden West Community College. Believe it or not, I think it was a lot easier teaching my high school kids than my college kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. The reason why is because, you know, when you go to community college, especially, like, you don't have a schedule. You know,
mm-hmm,
you either show up or you don't.
Yeah.
See, high school kids, you do. You know,
yeah,
you have to show their sixth period after school. You mm-hmm, have to get it done or else you're not playing.
Mm-hmm.
See, junior college, it was a whole different story, man.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of ABs on the team.
Right.
A lot of ABs on the team. I mean, you have your few that that would, you know, want to work out, get some serious work done and stuff like on and off the field,
right,
in the weight room, in the film room, you know, with the coaches and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, they were tough. They
right,
were tough. You know what I'm saying?
Now, as far as, just like I said, I was a defensive offensive lineman.
Right, right.
It was a certain type of diet my coach begged me to get on, and
right,
I hated
right,
that shit.
Yeah.
Did you have to do the same thing for your kids as far as your bigger players?
For my bigger players, I just try to tell them to maintain you are what you eat, I guess you could
yeah,
say. Because
yeah,
a lot of my kids, like my big players, man, whew, when I teach them to do a certain drill or something,
yeah,
like I'll tell them to do a certain drill, and then I come back the next week and they look the same exact way, I tell them straight up, you are that 345 pounds. You're
right,
the reason why you're slow, you know,
right,
something like that.
Right.
I try to give them a sense of, like, just maintain what you eat. Don't eat junk food, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of, like, as far as, like, my skinny guys, like my receivers,
yeah,
quarterback, I
yeah,
tell them just eat anything and everything. You
right,
know what
right, right,
whatever
right,
you see in front of you, eat it. You
eat
know what
it,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially when you're in high school, you shouldn't really think about, like, as far as, like, the kids that I teach, they shouldn't really focus on a diet as far as now.
Yeah.
Because
their metabolism is
exactly,
so high,
right,
man.
Right. Because
yeah,
they're constantly burning every
yeah,
single minute
yeah,
when they're in high school, you know. And it doesn't help either, you know, with the food at high schools. They get really shitty food, bro. Like,
oh, yeah.
Excuse my language. I don't know if I was
talking about that. Oh, yeah. They used to serve plum, man, dude. I was
yeah,
saying
yeah,
on my last episode, man.
Right,
high
right,
school kid, they nah, used
man,
sloppy joes
yeah,
and french fries and shit like that,
bro,
man.
Bro, you know, but there's a lot of high school nowadays. I don't know if you've seen it. They got food trucks.
Oh, see, wow.
Yeah, I was like, what? What was that when I was in high school?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think up in Corona, I believe, my cousin, she used to go to school in San Marcos. They have food trucks every lunchtime. They have like different types of food trucks, Mexican food, Chinese food, everything, In and Out. Yeah, man.
Wow.
Yes. And it sucks. And we have this, you know, Goodies Pizza.
Exactly. So you know that the cafeteria.
Right. The last minute.
Out,
yeah.
You know, got something out of the jar, out of the can.
Right. Right. It does. It. Yeah. It looks like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just bad, man. No, and everything, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
You finna open up your new gym, man. Right, Tell us the process of that. Because you're 24 years old.
Yeah.
Man. So that's not too many 24-year-old can say, man, I'm finna open up my new gym,
right,
man.
Right,
like,
right.
God damn, man. That's so motivating, man.
Yeah,
how did that all start, man?
Okay. So, I mean, so what happened was I was with my mentor for about 3-4 years when I first got started. I was with my lady one time, and, you know, we wanted to get our own spot. Because for the longest, but we just never like put it into action, you know. So one day we were just driving off of Bloomfield Centralia, currently where our location is at now. We've seen a Ford Lease. We just kind of like took a leap of faith, to be honest, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we had the blueprint, you know what I'm saying, but we just needed something to like spark it. So we were like, okay, why not get our own, you know, place, our own spot? We felt like we put enough, you know, in enough time to go ahead and, you know, open up our own spot and eventually, you know, get people in there and teach them what we know. So one day we're just driving and we seen the Fort Lee sign and we took a leap of faith. We called it and then guy met up with us and then we locked it in. We got the keys and everything.
Damn.
But I could say it was a long process, bro. It was not an easy process, bro. It was very, very crucial. But luckily for my lady, she was my right-hand man, my backbone. She kept pushing me. She's like, no, we're not giving up. We're not giving up.
That when you got a good woman on your shoulder, like, seriously.
Yeah. So she's been pushing me for the longest. So, yeah, for a whole year, we've been trying to get the whole city thing. The city thing is very tough, you know, trying to get approved.
Because
it depends on, you know, where you're at. You know,
exactly.
Is there housings around, you know what I'm saying? What type of business is around you?
Then inspection got to come in. Yeah, you got to make sure.
And the first thing they hear when we say gym, they're like, whoa, gym. Because it's not a big facility. It's like maybe a 1,200 square feet facility. So we're in between a laundromat and a restaurant. So, you know, the restaurant, you know, we were getting a lot of complaints. But, you know, we try to work with them. You know what I'm saying? So we eventually double up our mats. Because a lot of the weightlifting, you know, it requires a lot of slamming the ball.
Right.
Like
a lot of noise and all that.
So, yeah, man, going back to how we, you know, opened up my spot, we just took the, you know, like I said, leap of faith. We signed paperwork and everything. It took a whole year to get approved, but we finally got approved November 2019. So from November till now, we just worked on trying to get equipment and stuff like that. Equipment is expensive, bro. Just equipment is expensive, bro. For a bar, it's like $300, and then you got dumbbells. A full set, maybe like $750. It's ridiculous.
Especially the good ones, man. Goddamn, man. Man, it's a monster price, man.
Right.
Like, you gotta put down payment on that.
Nah, for sure.
Seriously.
It was almost more than my rent, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, man. But I mean, you know, eventually, you know, there's gonna be that, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. You just gotta keep pushing, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, you know, it's not always, the grass is not always gonna be greener. You just gotta keep growing.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course,
so,
man.
Yeah, that's what. From November to January, we just been working to try to get our sign up, you know, just our whole, you know, brochure, pamphlets, everything, you know, to break down the whole gym system and everything. Now we just officially opened 2 weeks ago, man. Yeah.
Nice. And what's the name of the gym?
Uncommon Ethic.
Uncommon Ethic. Where you get the name from?
So Uncommon Ethic. So I was listening to a Young Jeezy song, bro. It's called Win. And in his song, he has like he has a speech in the beginning of the song and the end of the song.
Yeah.
And at the end of the song, man, it was a powerful speech. And at the end of the thing, it said, nobody want to follow your vision because you're an uncommon breed.
Right.
So when he said uncommon breed, I figured, oh, let me take that uncommon part and then put the ethic at the end. You know, ethics just come from work ethic.
Right,
you know,
right,
having that
right.
passion drive. So we just put it together and we came up with that, man.
Man, that's a dope-ass name. Y'all make sure
that,
y'all follow uncommon ethic, man. You know what I'm saying? That's
appreciate
a dope-ass
that.
Name.
Yes,
dope-ass gym. So what is basically your gym going to be consist of? Far as, are y'all going to have trainers? Are y'all going to have?
Eventually when we... you know, start to, you know, grow and stuff like that. We'll have more trainers. For now, it's just me and my lady.
Okay.
We're the two head coaches there.
Okay.
So our gym, we do strength and conditioning, Olympic weightlifting, and athletic development. But we also do a little personal training, like functional training as well, too. So, and we throw in a little bit of HIIT classes as well. But that's only ranging for like 1 hour. Yeah, man. We do a little bit of everything, man.
Wow, wow. So you and your lady both work together as one.
Yeah, we work together.
Yeah, man. And and that seemed like the best thing, man.
Yeah, man. That's my best friend, man. That's my tag team partner.
Hey, good relationship, man.
Right, man.
It's good, healthy lifestyle,
man.
And that's rare, right. These days, as far as couples could have share the same interests.
Right. Yeah. I mean, with her, she knows me inside out, man. You know what I'm saying? So I know her inside out. So we've been together for nine years. So,
nice.
You know, it just makes it easier, you know, like, especially, you know, she knows what I'm capable of, and when I'm, you know, slacking, she knows when to, like, push me.
Right.
Same thing, vice versa. But she's always been my right-hand man. She knows everything I know.
You know,
she's been to almost every practice, every game, everything that I have, you know, that consists of like training and stuff like that. She's been there.
And that's rare to find these days, man.
Especially
a person that's there for you.
Right, through
the thick and thin.
What?
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's hard to find people like that, man, nowadays,
most definitely.
Man. You know what I'm saying? Once you find that person, man, you
I'm forever grateful for her. So,
exactly, man. Especially she helped motivate y'all, and y'all motivate each other to open up y'all own gym, man.
That's crazy.
That's
a blessing,
shit.
Man.
That's a blessing, man. Yeah, that's definitely a blessing.
Especially to do it with, you know, like I said, my best friend. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We started this together. We're going to finish this together. You know
right,
what I'm
saying? Right, man. That's crazy, man. That's crazy as hell, man. Oh, man.
Thank you, bro.
So now, Jonah, man, we got time has come, man.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Shit. You already know.
Oh, man.
We about to get to the motherfucking shits. Yes, sir.
Oh,
you know
man.
What I'm saying? So, Jonah, man, you got to give us a bullshit-ass story or something that really just had just fucked up. You just like, damn, man, I can't believe this shit happened, man. Or something pertaining to somebody else you know.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? They don't mind you telling this story about them, man. And just something, man.
Like just a random story?
Just a random story, man.
Man, let me see. Okay, I got one. Yeah, my lady's going to be mad, but it's okay. Yeah, so this was all for a girl, bro. Long story short, so I had went to this continuation school. I had skipped school for this girl. Right. It wasn't my girl right now, but she knows the whole story.
Right.
So, I had skipped school, and I had went to her school, but it was on the other side of Long Beach. It was Long Beach Poly. So it was Long Beach Poly. I had hopped the gates, went inside. I went to every single period with her, with this girl that I'm trying to impress. So I'm going through the whole school, you know, trying to, you know, impress her. I went to lunch with her, snack, you know, the whole nine. And then come to find out, sixth period, you know, I was going to her class, right? So going to her class, I get there. I'm like, man, where's she at?
Right.
You know, what's going on? She stepped out and dipped out on me. Yeah, she straight.
What?
Yeah, I did the whole nine, bro. Yeah.
What? See, you back in.
Man, she straight skipped out on me and then went with another dude.
Oh, my fucking goodness, bro.
She went with another dude and then.
Was he an athlete?
Yeah. Yeah, he was another athlete, so he was a little bit bigger and taller than me, so it's all good.
Oh,
though.
Damn!
But at the end of the day, it was crucial because I got the worst whooping in my life. It was bad.
For skipping.
Yeah, I went back to my school that I skipped out on, and my mom was waiting in the office. Yeah, she was. She was waiting in the office too.
Look at her face,
man. What?
Said, wait till we get home.
Stomach, man. It was bad. It was really bad. Got home and man, worst whooping of my life, bro.
I'll never
forget that day.
Oh man, you just banged some man. Do I need to call 911? Yeah, something bad for this.
It was
day.
Bad. Yeah, it man, was bad. I never did that again. I can tell you that.
Did you ever see the girl again?
Nah, never.
Wow.
That was it. Contact everything. She never texted me back or nothing. Yeah.
She ain't never gave you an explanation
of
what happened. You already knew what happened, but
she
ain't never called you to say, hey.
Nothing. That was it. That's the last time I've seen from her and heard from her.
God damn.
That was it, man. Left me on red.
God damn. I ain't gonna lie. If that girl do that to me, if I see her 20 years, I'll be like, motherfucker, look at me now.
Right, that's why I leave my page on public.
Exactly. Look at me now. Look at my girl. Look what I got right now. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy, man. That's crazy. So, man, Jonah, man, I appreciate you coming through today, man. Dude. Man, y'all support this dude, man. Y'all check out his gym, man. What's the name of your gym again?
Uncommon Ethic. It's off of Centralia and Bloomfield.
Okay.
Yeah, it's off of Centralia and Bloomfield, right next. It's in between a car, laundromat and a sushi restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. And give me your Instagram too.
Yeah. So my Instagram is at NUMATA_NIUMATA_, and then you can follow the team page as well, which is Uncommon Ethic. It's UNCMN.ETHIC.
Oh, that's dope. Sir. That's dope, man. Yeah, man. I appreciate you coming through today, man, and everything, man. And just to let y'all know, Locker Room Talk will be at the Fitness Expo next week on Saturday, man. So y'all make sure y'all come check us out, come through. You know what I'm saying? Holler at us because we're going to be doing a lot of interviews.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we're going to be getting to the shits with a lot of people, man. So y'all make sure y'all check us out at the Fitness Expo, man, and everything, man. And I appreciate you, man.
Yeah,
and that's another episode of Locker Room Talk, man. Let's get these games. Yeah!